Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
We're studying the book of James, and we come today to chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin, and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Why does he say, if you stumble at just one point, you're guilty of breaking the entire law of God? Is that true? I mean, if I fudge on my taxes, I'm not guilty of murder or child sacrifice or rape or anything like that. I haven't broken every law. So why does James say this? What is he getting at? The answer will give you some insight into not only what it means to obey God, but also it will give you greater success in your efforts to obey God.
Isn't it true that even on your hardest, most miserable day, on that day, what you are receiving from God is mostly mercy? And so is it too much for God to ask you to deal with other people like that in your life with that same mercy? When you evaluate people, which triumphs in your heart? Which gets the last laugh, mercy or judgment? If you want to judge people, do it. But just make sure that when you're done, what they deserve is here in your priorities, and what they need is way up here in your priorities. What they need is more important than what they deserve. That's mercy. And if you're not showing mercy, you're not showing love. And if you're not showing love, James wants you to know, it's not going to go well for you on Judgment Day. Because on Judgment Day, your whole life will be evaluated based on what you did with the love command. Verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law. What law? The royal law of Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the standard. You say, well, what if I kept that law? Sort of. I love some people, just not other people. I love certain people. Well, in that case, James says, you kept the law, but not really. Look at verse 8. Underline that word, really. If you really keep the royal law, you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, verse 9, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So there's a difference between keeping God's law and really keeping it. What is that? What is the difference between keeping God's law but not really and really keeping it? Well, keeping God's law but not really is what the people were doing when they showed favoritism. They were showing love. That's sort of keeping God's law, but not really, because they're, at the same time, they're breaking the law that says no favoritism. They're the people who think that they can get credit for keeping one part of God's law, even while they're breaking something else, some other commandment in God's law. I call that the plus-minus approach to obeying God. And that's the way most people operate. Most people, I think, they think this way, this plus-minus approach, so that in their mind, whenever they commit a sin, that's a minus. And whenever they do a good deed, that's a plus. And then whenever they just carry out their normal responsibilities, that's not a plus or a minus, they just stay even. And so they figure, well, I'm minus one for showing favoritism, but I'm plus one for showing love to the people that I favored, and so I'm even. People like that think they'll be fine on Judgment Day. As long as they come out in the black, you know, as long as their good deeds are more than their bad deeds, then they'll be okay on Judgment Day. And most of us know that that's wrong. And yet, even for us, it's very easy for us to slip into a form of that kind of thinking. Because you stumble into a sin, you feel really bad, you feel guilty, you feel terrible, and you say, I need to do something to make up for this. Right? And so you go out of your way to do some special good deed to get some extra credit points to make up for what you put in the minus column by committing that sin. Anytime you do that, anytime you find yourself thinking, okay, I've sinned, now I need to make it up to God. Whenever you feel that, you know you've fallen into this plus-minus approach. And what happens there is, in essence, you become your own redeemer, right? You sin, every time you sin, you try to redeem yourself by doing something to make up for it. And James just demolishes that whole plus-minus approach in verse 10. Because he says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Break one, you broke them all. You broke them all. Sometimes in school they have tests where you can pick which questions. They'll say, they'll have 10 questions. They say, select any six to do these questions or something like that. God's commandments aren't like that. He didn't give us 10 commandments and say, well, take a shot at any six. But some people seem to think that's the way it is. That's the way they operate. They think as long as they keep the big ones, it's okay if they break the little ones. Or if they keep most of them, it's okay. The ones that they break can be overlooked. They think God's law, following God's law, is like bowling, where you can knock some down and others are still standing. It's not like bowling. It's like putting a baseball through a picture window. When you break it, the whole thing is broken. You break it in one spot, the whole thing shatters. That's God's law. Now, does that mean all sins are the same? Is that what James is saying here? Every sin is the same in seriousness? No. No. Some of God's laws are weightier than others. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus made it clear that mercy, justice, and faithfulness are weightier, more important than tithing. He said, you should tithe. That's important. But mercy is even more important. And when you break the more important commands, you have more guilt than when you break the smaller ones. That's why Jesus said, for example, Judas' sin was worse than Pilate's. John 19:11, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. So not all sins are the same. They're not all the same. So if that's the case, then why does James say that if I broke one particular law, I'm guilty of breaking all of it? Well, the answer to that comes in two parts. The first part James already gave us. The reason you're guilty of breaking the entire law, if you just stumble at one point, is because there's only one law. Right? We saw that last time. God's law is not a bunch of disconnected rules in the Bible. It's one rule. One rule. God's command to love our neighbor and to love God, that love command sums up the entire law. That's the law. That's it. So there's only one law, which means if you stumble in some area of loving God or loving neighbor, you've broken the whole law because that's the only law there is. So what's the difference between gossip and murder? What's the difference? Well, one of them just took it a little further than the other one, but they both broke the same command. What's the difference between someone who disobeys his parents and is disrespectful as opposed to somebody who robs a bank at gunpoint? Well, they're different in degree, but they're the same in kind. They all broke the exact same law, the royal law of love. So that's the first part of the answer. If you break one, you broke them all. Why? Because there's only one law. But then there's another reason that comes at the beginning of verse 11. And here's something to notice. Take a look at the word he. It says, for he. Now stop right there in verse 11. For he. When we think about God's law, James wants us to think in terms of a person, not in terms of a list of rules. Okay? The main issue with the law of God is the lawgiver. Verse 11, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. His point is, it's the same person. Every single commandment in the Bible came from the same person. Committing adultery and committing murder are two different things. They're not the same thing. They're two different things. But the command not to do them came from the same person. And that's significant because the reason the law of God matters is because it's an expression of God's will. It teaches us what he wants, what his will is. And that's a very, very, very important concept to get. And it's difficult because we don't normally think of laws that way. Usually that's not the reason we obey laws, right? When you obey the speed limit or you pay your taxes or you obey some law, you might have various different reasons and motivations why you obey those laws. But probably none of us obey those laws because of a personal relationship with the one who passed those laws, right? We generally don't see a law keeping as a personal issue between us and the lawmaker. We don't think of it that way. But when it comes to God's law, the personal relationship is the only important factor. Breaking God's law is not mainly an issue of violating a code of ethics or breaking a rule or falling short of a standard. It's most fundamentally an issue of unfaithfulness to a person. It's a betrayal of a relationship. The reason sin is bad isn't because it hurts people. It isn't because it has consequences. The reason sin is bad is because it is an act of unfaithfulness to God. That's what makes it bad. Think of it in terms, it's like being unfaithful to your spouse. If you go commit adultery and your spouse is all upset because you committed adultery, they're not upset because you broke a rule, right? They're upset because you're unfaithful to them. It's personal. It's intensely personal. And that's exactly the same way it is with the law of God. Anything in the whole Bible, every law in the whole Bible, it's personal with God. And that's another reason why you can't make up for a sin by going out and doing some good deeds. Can't be done. Every time you do a good deed, all you're doing is being faithful to God. That's all you're doing. Well, that's the standard. We should always be faithful to Him. So if I'm unfaithful to Him right now, this morning, and then I'm faithful to Him later on this afternoon, that doesn't cancel out my unfaithfulness, right? The only way I can ever cancel out my unfaithfulness is to go above and beyond my duty, which I can never do because my duty is faithfulness, and there's no way to go above and beyond faithfulness. That's the highest thing there is. Again, think in terms of a marriage. Your spouse commits adultery with the neighbor. And when you complain, your spouse says, well, yes, I committed adultery with the next door neighbor. But I didn't commit adultery with the neighbor across the street. I was faithful to you with regard to the one across the street. And so that faithfulness should cancel out the unfaithfulness with the one next door. At this point, you're going to say, all right, stop trying to plead not guilty by reason of insanity. I'm not falling for it. That wouldn't make any sense. You wouldn't go for that because we realize that sin is evil because it's unfaithfulness to a person. You can see that when it comes to adultery. It's the same way with God. It's wrong because it's a violation of the relationship. So no matter which sin you commit, it's a violation of that same relationship. You steal something, that's like committing adultery with the next door neighbor. You tell a lie, that's like committing adultery with a neighbor two doors down. You lose your temper, that's like committing adultery with a neighbor across the street. You show favoritism, that's like committing adultery with someone at work. Are they different sins? Yeah, they're different sins in one sense, but they're all unfaithfulness to the lawgiver, to the one lawgiver. That's why you can't pick and choose which laws in the Bible you're going to follow.
Think of the areas in your Christian life where you're the most prone to stumble. Could it be that sin, for whatever reason, just doesn't seem to have anything to do with loving or not loving God? If it didn't, then there would be no law against it in the Bible. The fact that the Bible forbids it means it is indeed fundamentally an issue of love for God. If one of your kids got angry and cussed you out, that would be very personal, right? But if you just forgot to say, may I be excused before leaving the dinner table, well, that probably wouldn't feel personal. He just broke a rule. And chances are it wouldn't have nearly the impact on your relationship with him than if he had cussed you out. But there are no rules in the Bible like that may I be excused rule. Every law in the Bible is personal with God. Every violation is like adultery or cussing God out. So if there's some sin you struggle with, one possibility is there's a disconnect in your heart between that law and the issue of loving God. And so if you're able to make that connection in your heart, not only will you have more success in obeying that law, but you'll be able to do so with greater joy, because loving God brings joy to the soul.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.